You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Lees, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zalecki. Todd, I'm not sure we're going to know what to do with this particular 10 minutes, because I think we're going to have some optimism here. as we speak, it is mere hours until Aaron Nola's Major League debut, which means all of us can project upon him whatever we want and can make him into whatever Hall of Fame pitcher that we choose for him to be. If we are being fair and honest, what should be expected of this right-hander?
Well, long-term, if you believe most scouts that have seen this guy pitch in the minor league, they will tell you that he projects as a solid number three type of starter. I know, a 6-7 inning type guy. You know, he's not Max Scherzer. You know, he's not Steven Strasburg coming into the big leagues. He might not even be Cole Hamels, but he's a good, solid rotation type of guy that you can, I don't want to say build a rotation around, but certainly you can build a rotation with, if that makes any sense. But quite frankly, the Phillies obviously need a guy like that, a guy that you can throw out there and most days is going to give you a chance to win a ball game. So, you know, he doesn't have overpowering stuff. So I think there's been so much hype about Aaron Nola. I think it makes some sense to maybe temper those expectations a little bit. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a quality big leaguer for a very long time. I think he's got stands an excellent chance of doing that. But, you know, yeah, like I said, he's not Matt Harvey. He's not Max Scherzer. He's not projected to be those types of guys. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be a very good big league pitcher for a long time. I think he will be.
It's worth noting that sometimes those guys do turn out to be more than that, you know, and I come to this with a particular bias. You know, I spent a lot of time around the Cardinals, but, you know, that was kind of the book on Lance Lynn. To a lesser extent, that was kind of the book on Michael Wacha, that they were high-floor, low-ceiling guys. Sometimes those high-floor guys develop a high ceiling. Do the Phillies have any inclination, or just people you've talked to, evaluators, as to what it would take for him to sort of be more than that good quality innings eating durable mid rotation guy?
Well, you know, he throws in the low 90s. He can get it up there every once in a while. I think the big thing, if he does become more than what most of the evaluators project him to be, I think it is going to be because he has incredible command of his pitches. This is a guy who does not walk a lot of guys. He's ahead. He works ahead in the count most of the times. And if he can continue, if he can do that at the big league level, be a strike thrower, attack hitters, you know, don't walk a lot of guys, don't give up those free passes. You know, I think he might be able to be a little bit better than a lot of people think he will be.
Okay, enough of that fun stuff. Jonathan Appelbaum wants out. He takes every opportunity he gets to say he wants out. They want him out, too. I mean, they don't want him gone, but they would like to make a move. Is he the surest guy to be somewhere else on August 1st?
I think so. If I had to put my paycheck on it, if I had to pick a Phillies player that's most likely to be traded, I would have to put it on Jonathan Papelbon. I just think clearly the time has come to do this. You can't keep him and try to trade him in the off season. I mean, you could try to do that for sure, but why do that? You know, I think at this point, if you can get something of some value for him and not have to eat all the contract, I think it would behoove the Phillies certainly to do that. You know, he doesn't want to be here. Now, what's ironic about it is as vocal as he has been about wanting out of Philadelphia, he really has not been much of a problem in the clubhouse in terms of being, you know, people always talk about, is this guy a good guy, bad guy? He doesn't want to be in Philly. He's made it clear. He's told the fans, hey, I love to be the villain, so boo me if you want. But he hasn't been a disruptive force in that clubhouse. So now whether that would remain true remains to be seen if he's here on August 1st. But I think, you know, they feel some pressure to do it. They want to get it done. But if The best offer is we're not going to trade you anybody decent and you're going to have to pay off his contract. I guess maybe they keep him. But I do think that they're going to find somebody at the last hour to come forth and make a deal to acquire Jonathan Papelbon.
Let's give the Phillies the benefit of the doubt and say that the relative difficulty they've had making deals is not on them, that they haven't been ridiculously demanding, and that in fact they're being reasonably demanding, that they should get a lot for Cole Hamels, they should get a good return for Jonathan Papelbon, they should get a good return for anybody they move, because they don't need to get out from under the money. What they need to do is restock the organization. Let's grant that and say this is not a matter of them just being difficult. Even if you grant that, when you talk about Papelbon, and even if you grant that he's been fine in the clubhouse, to some extent he has to be a headache at this point. All of which is a very long preface for my question is it time for them to adjust what they're asking on him in particular, given that no matter what, he's probably not going to get you a franchise-changing talent, and at some point the headache is enough, and at some point you want, if you're developing an organization, you want guys who want to be there. You want to be building this culture of guys who want to win as Phillies. Is it approaching time? Is it already time? Have they already made the decision that maybe you back off a little and you just get this done because it's got to get done?
Yeah, I think there has been a little adjustment. You know, I think as you get closer and closer to the deadline, the Phillies' expectations become more realistic, and I think the other teams' expectations become more realistic in terms of, you know, what you can do to get this player. Now, I think personally, if a team came up to the Phillies and said, listen, we'll give you this double-A guy, you know, he could be okay, but we'll take on the rest of his contract, no problem. I think the Phillies got to do it. I think you just got to move on from him at this point. You know, it depends who you talk to, and I've written this before, and I believe we talked about this before. I think what you have a lot of is you have people inside the Phillies organization saying, you know, we're not asking for that much, but we're really getting lowballed here. And then you have people on the other side saying, you cannot believe what these guys think that they should get for Jonathan Papelbon and Cole Hamels. And what I think it is a lot of this is playing out in the media. The Phillies are trying to put pressure on other teams. Other teams are certainly trying to put pressure on the Phillies to get rid of these guys. And I think if a team wants a player from the Phillies enough and the Phillies want to trade that guy enough, they're going to have some honest discussion in these last couple weeks, less than 2 weeks, to make something happen.
And that kind of leads into my next question. I would give credit if I remember who wrote it, but, you know, as all of us in 2015, we consume a zillion tweets and blog posts and stories everywhere, and it can be hard to remember. But the idea was floated, and I apologize to whoever's idea I'm quoting here, that perhaps the Phillies might look at this Hamels situation and look at their front office situation and say, well, there's a pretty good chance we're going to have a different-looking front office. We're certainly going to have the team president, even if he's partially on board now, even if McPhail is partly on board now, he's not fully ingrained yet. There's a decent chance they'll have a new general manager. There's a pretty good chance they'll have a new manager, and that's not the guy who makes the decisions, but he's part of the process. Given all of that, if the deal that's going to make your franchise is Hamels, do you wait until all of that is in place? Is there now some thought that even after we've talked about this for months and months, that maybe they just say, look, we're going to make sure we do this right, and we're going to do a Hamels deal in the offseason when we've got our front office in place?
I think there's certainly a possibility. I think there's certainly a possibility of that. You know, what's interesting to me is, you know, you have Andy McPhail, who's got to live with the trade beyond this year. He's not calling the final shot. Pat Gillick, you know, he's calling the final shots. He's stepping down at the end of the season. So you have kind of a weird sort of thing going on. And what I think might happen, I think there's a possibility they could hold Hamels until the offseason. If they don't truly like what they've got, you know, if Pat Gillick is making the final call, and he is, I think there's definitely the possibility that they could go, you know what, I just don't feel good about this deal. Let's just hold on to him. We don't need to shed the payroll. And let's let Andy deal with it in the off season. You know, that would not surprise me at all. You know, but certainly the whole Gillick, McPhail, Ruben Amaro sort of, who's calling the shots here? Is it, there's got to be some, it's just a weird situation, quite frankly, in my opinion. You have, like I said, you have Andy McPhail, who's going to be in charge, not calling the shots. He's got to live with whatever trade is made right now. And Pat Gillick, who is calling the shots, is kind of walking away after the offseason. Now, he will remain, you know, he's got part ownership. He will remain involved to some degree. But it's a very strange sort of setup right now, and you do wonder how that is going to affect the trades, you know, in the next couple of weeks, and then, you know, the trades that could be made in August, you know, or the next 6 weeks or so.
Now, to play devil's advocate in one way to all of the arguments that I just made, if Cole Hamels is healthy, and everybody swears that he is, and he's been as ineffective as he's been the last two starts, it's sort of natural to wonder, does he have one foot out the door? Is he, understandably, I don't mean to be running him down or anything, it may not even be conscious, but if he has one foot out the door, does that operate in the other direction and maybe increase the urgency to go ahead and get a deal done if this guy is going to be maybe not all the way there for the next 2 months? You know, two starts probably don't hurt his value. If he's not fully effective for 2 months, that could affect his value.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if he would finish, if he's really thinking about this trade deadline on, again, he says he's not. But what athlete has ever said, boy, I am super rattled by these trade discussions. I can't think of a player, baseball player, off the top of my head that's been like, I just can't go out there and compete. You know, I'm a mess right now. I'm a mental mess. You don't really hear that happen too much. So he says he's not bothered by it. But if he is bothered by it and he is struggling and then he's still here on August 1st and he's super disappointed. I mean, we saw this with Roy Halladay in July of 2009 when the Phillies got Cliff Lee over Halladay. Halladay's first few starts after that trade deadline when he didn't get traded to the Phillies were pretty bad, and he acknowledged later, you know, I was just really out of it. I was depressed. I was bummed out. I didn't have the focus I normally had, and it's human nature to let it affect you. So, yeah, if Cole does not come out this weekend in Chicago and pitch well, he's not traded, and he kind of continues to struggle down the stretch, that would really hurt his value. So I think what the Phillies are really hoping for is that Cole goes out there this weekend against the Cubs at Wrigley Field, who, by the way, are one of the teams that have expressed some interest in him. And I think he hopes that he goes out there and he just dials it up and just dominates for 7 or 8 innings. And and all these teams are going to go, okay, this guy's still a stud. We got to make this happen.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.